I yield the floor.
Mr. President, I have no understanding of what he's talking about. I mean, I'm the chairman of the Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee. I have, during my time, regularly confirmed Democratic nominees and Republican nominees. I've worked with a Democratic leader to make it easier for President Obama to confirm nominees, and now he gives me no specific reason why he's objecting to the nominee from Tennessee. And I would ask him further, even though he's left the floor in what I would consider to be an act of discourtesy while I'm speaking to him, and I mean that, I'm very upset about this. I consider that an act of discourtesy when the Democratic leader leaves the floor while I'm speaking directly to him through the chair on a matter of importance to 10 million people in our area.
Senator Lamar Alexander going all Lindsey Graham on Chuck Schumer, who not only has disrespected the process of slowing the judicial confirmation process for no good reason, but with a particular nominee for the TVA board, John Ryder, lawyer from Memphis, excellent lawyer with, as Lamar Alexander pointed out, 7 to 10 million people in the region waiting for a new board member so they can get a new CEO, a new chairman of TVA. The Democrats holding up John Ryder's confirmation after he's already been through the committee process, holding him up for like 177 days, and basically Chuck Schumer walking out in the midst of the debate, the conversation between Senator Lamar Alexander and himself over this issue, did everything but, you know, kind of flip him the finger like that Harvard player did against the Yale player while he was scoring this weekend. And Lamar, good to have you back with us.
Thank you, Steve.
Whatever you and Lindsey Graham are eating for breakfast these days, we love it.
Well, we have breakfast sometimes at the same restaurant. I don't like to have that kind of discussion, but what bothers me is the president, whether it's President Obama or President Trump, has 1,200 presidential nominations from Supreme Court justice to TVA board member, which is a part-time job. And that's the way an elected president forms the government. So I worked pretty hard with Senator Schumer and Republicans and Democrats a few years ago to make it easier for presidents to get their nominees confirmed so an elected president could form a government. Now what the Democrats are doing is they're slow-walking all the nominees. They know they can't beat them because it just takes 51 votes to confirm somebody, but they'll take someone like John Ryder, who's from Memphis. He's regularly named one of the best lawyers in Tennessee. He's been nominated by the president to be a member of the board of the Tennessee Valley Authority. That board needs to pick a new chief executive officer, the most important thing it'll do during any of the board members' terms. And the Democrats have held up Ryder's nomination for 176 days for no reason at all.
And the Republicans do cooperate. Again, it seems like it's a one-way street. When Democrats have the White House, Republicans go along and subscribe to the belief, as you point out, that you know you get to pick your people. And unless there's something glaringly bad about the nominee, they get approved, whether it's Supreme Court nominees or anybody else. You and others have supported folks like Elena Kagan and Sonia Sotomayor, and yet the same respect doesn't apply to a Neil Gorsuch or certainly to a Brett Kavanaugh. How do we fix the impression that so many have and get angry about, Senator Alexander, that it's a one-way street, that Republicans play by the rules and the Democrats break the rules?
Well, to some extent, that's true, but just because somebody else misbehaves doesn't mean you should. I mean, we have a system of checks and balances in the United States, and right now the Senate is a check on the president. And a lot of the Senate Democrats are complaining about the new acting Attorney General, Whitaker. Well, if they keep this up and won't confirm the president's nominees for, say, Attorney General, they'll have a whole government filled with acting officers, acting assistant secretary of this, acting cabinet member of that, and the Senate won't have any role at all, and it won't have any check and balance. So I don't want to get into a situation where we have a Republican president and a Democratic Senate, and they never confirm anybody. I was trying to point that out to Senator Schumer. What if you have a Democratic president next time and a Republican Senate, and the Republican Senate acts like Schumer's doing right now? The Democratic president won't even be able to form a government, and that's not good for the country. So I don't think this is benefiting the Democrats for doing it. The election, I think, the Senate election showed that. They don't get any points for just obstructing. They just hurt the country.
Senator Alexander, this is Michael Patrick Leahy. Did Senator Schumer
subsequently apologized to you directly for what you referred to, that act of discourtesy of walking off the Senate floor while you were directly addressing him.
No, he didn't. He did not. He actually called me afterwards, and he was still mad about it. I said, well, you shouldn't be mad at me. I should be mad at you.
Well, and you're one of the most temperate members of the Senate. I mean, if they've reached the point where they start hacking off you and Lindsey Graham, they've way gone out of bounds. You know, Rick Scott has now been, I guess, confirmed. He's not yet been through the actual final process in Florida, but Republicans will now have at least a 52-48, and assuming Cindy Hyde-Smith...
We'll have 53 if he's confirmed.
Well, if Cindy Hyde-Smith hangs on in Mississippi in about a week, first of all, does a 52-53-47 majority change the Senate? It gives you a little bit more wiggle room.
It does. For example, on the committee that I'm chairman of, health, education, labor, et cetera, it would give us probably a margin of two votes instead of one vote. So if we lose one Republican vote or even two, if we lose one, we can still report something out of the committee. So, yeah, it'll give us a little more of a margin on several of the committees, I believe.
Well, in judiciary, where a one-vote margin was giving, you know, folks like Jeff Flake, giving folks like Lisa Murkowski and others, they could block a Brett Kavanaugh. When you got a little bit more room, you've got a couple of extra members.
That's exactly right. For example, it would make a big difference on the Judiciary Committee if you had a margin of two instead of one.
How do they make these appointments, Senator Alexander? I mean, Marsha Blackburn's name's being bandied about as a potential add to the Judiciary Committee, which would be unusual for one of those high-powered committees for a freshman to go on. And yet, one of the optic problems in the Kavanaugh process was it was all older white men who were making that determination. You've now got, with Senator Orrin Hatch moving out, with Jeff Flake moving out, you've essentially got two vacancies on that committee, maybe a third if you add one more seat. Marsha Blackburn, how does she get selected, or a Joni Ernst selected for that?
Well, fundamentally, it's seniority. And then second, you've got to want it. And a lot of senators don't want to be on the Judiciary Committee. And anybody who could take a look at the Kavanaugh hearing would understand why.
Can't imagine why.
I mean, it's just like a knife fight for 30 days. So literally, a number of the people who Senator McConnell has asked to serve on the committee, including women members of the Senate, have said, no, thank you. I'd rather be on commerce, or I'd rather talk about education, or I'd rather deal with armed services. So, one, he'll have to ask Marsha, and she'll have to be willing to do it. I talked with her last week. It's up to her to decide what she will do. But my guess is that Senator McConnell will be eager to invite the senator-elect Marsha Blackburn to be on the Judiciary Committee. And in exchange for that, she might say to him, okay, Mitch, then give me another very good appointment to some other committee that I would really like to be on, like Commerce or some other committee. So my guess is she might very well be on Judiciary and some other important committee, which would be good for Tennessee.
Well, and you've got Fort Campbell here. You've got other military bases and posts here in the state of Tennessee. You know, defense, the military would be another one that might make some sense.
She would like to be on armed services, so and she'd be very good on it. And that she used to represent Fort Campbell as part of her district, and she was an effective representative. So my guess is she may end up on Judiciary. That's between her and Senator McConnell and the seniority system. But if she does, I imagine she'll get at least one other very good appointment, maybe armed services, maybe commerce.
About 7:01 on election night, everybody started turning their attention to 2020. I'd argue it was before that. But whether it's the White House, whether it's congressional races, Senate races, 2020 has already started. You've got Cory Gardner out in Colorado is going to have a tough fight to hang on to his. You've got Susan Collins. Those are two Republican seats that are going to have to be fought over. In Alabama, Doug Jones, hopefully we can take back Alabama. There's talk that Senator Roberts in Kansas, who's 85, may retire and create an open seat there. And folks are talking about Lamar Alexander. Are you going to run for reelection in 2020?
Steve, I haven't decided. I'm going to decide by the end of the...
Well, just between year. Us.
No, not just... No, I like what I'm doing. I enjoy it. I'm doing it about as well as I ever had. I say to lots of people, and I said to you, that if you look at that 30 days between October 6th and November 6th, when the Kavanaugh hearing, that was one side of a split-screen television. On the other side, we were passing a landmark opioids bill, a first-in-a-generation copyright legislation to help songwriters, legislation for supercomputing and biomedical research. We even passed legislation that bans cell phone calls on airplanes so you don't have to sit next to somebody yapping their innermost thoughts for 5 hours across the country.
So contrary to what the media is reporting, things are getting done. When would you decide? What's your timeline for when you'll make a decision or announce it?
Before the first of the year.
This year or next year?
No. By the end of this year. I mean, I need to get started if I'm going to run for re-election. I don't take that for granted at all. Every time you run for re-election, you start over. And starting over means, for me, getting in touch with almost everybody in the state that I can. I don't expect I would walk across the state again, but I'd come pretty close to it. And if I don't, I need to get out of the way and let somebody else run.
Very good. Senator Lamont Alexander was there with some of your earlier wins. You know that we're here.
Yeah, okay, Steve. Great. You go way back. Michael, nice to talk with you as well.
Have a great Thanksgiving, you and the family, and we'll catch up soon. And let us know when you make your decision.
Same to both of you.
Thank you. Senator Lamont Alexander with us. We'll be back with more of the Tennessee Star Report in a moment.